You know, and people can try to go through weight loss and they might lose some pounds. They might lose some fat pounds. However, their body frame might still be the same, that they might not look the part, quote unquote. So we've come a really good long way in regards to that. But yet at the same time, we're still a bunch of jerks. You know, we're shaming people. We're shaming people in the industry who might not look to be physically fit enough to be a personal trainer, to own a gym. You know, we're so judgmental in this profession. I mean, hello everybody and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fitness Lying Down podcast, where I am your host and owner extraordinaire, Corey Kripe. Here we are again, and I guess you could say that this is officially my first podcast 45 years old. How cool is that? Maybe I have some more wisdom to share as I grow wiser and more mature. Minus the mature and wiser thing, I'm just growing, certainly. But today, it's just funny the conversations that we have in the gym and how they kind of spiral a little bit and spiderweb. And, you know, you think about the ripple effect and how it just kind of goes in so many different directions, kind of per my podcast episodes, where you think you're coming in for a certain topic, but then I just totally go off on a tangent and I never really get back onto that topic. So we'll see how today goes. But in the gym, having a conversation with somebody, and we're talking about, the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago had some kind of article about testing for longevity or how healthy, how fit you are. And one of these was testing your VO2 max. So how far could you run in 12 minutes? How many push-ups could you do? I forget a couple of the other ones, but then, of course, the never stopping, how can you get off the ground without using your hands? So I feel like somewhere in the early 2000s, there was a study that came out, I believe it was like Sweden, somewhere in that area, that kind of rated how you got up off the ground. So if you used your hands, those were points. Like every time you made contact with the ground, that was a point. And the goal was to have like 0 points. So to be able to rise from the floor without using your hands, I guess there was research backing this up that said people like that are more prone to live longer. So the longevity of life, where if you're constantly using your hands and support to get yourself up off the floor, then your chances for a long life are diminished. And I don't know what the validity is of that. I think there's so many other factors, but there is something to be said about not using a lot of support to get up off the ground to show how fit you are. How physically fit you are. But then this kind of, it was funny because then we're just talking about stuff and it got me going about a certain Instagram story that I saw a lot of people sharing the other day. And it's just kind of funny with all these things that we do to define fitness and define strength and, you know, all these influencers that we find in social media or podcasts. Oh my goodness, think about that. Think about all the bad influencers that are in the podcast realm. However, the thing that was said or shared was that most fitness advice, which I like to give a lot of, is just people with abs confusing correlation with causation. So again, most fitness advice is just people with abs confusing correlation with causation. And it is just hilarious when you think about that, because it's kind of funny how social media works. The algorithm works in my favor that I see a lot of fitness videos, fitness things that I don't necessarily subscribe to, that I don't necessarily follow, but I guess the algorithm suggests that I would like this based on some other searches that I do. So I see a lot of these things. I see people giving fitness advice, talking about these exercises that are going to cure all your pain. And of course, all these people are shirtless. Of course, all these people have like these abdominals that everybody would long for. But there's just so much more than that. So confusing correlation with causation. I think this is just brilliant when it comes to that. Because just because you have abs that are visible doesn't necessarily mean you're right. And we all have abdominals, right? And so, but there's so many things that would, I mean, I'm not downplaying people that have six pack abs. There's some people that are just genetically disposed that they're going to have low body fat. They haven't even done anything about it. They got abs. Okay, that's fine. For a lot of other people who have worked tirelessly to get to that physique level where their midsection is very tight, very tone, they had to sacrifice a lot to make that happen. I mean, they really did. I tell people, though, and I still believe it, that the people that chase that, I mean, granted, that's what they want. I'm not going to judge it one way or the other, but there's no freedom in that. You know, they had to really adhere to a strict diet, especially if, you know, and then they also had to have some genetic background too for this. I think it can be really difficult for people that might tend to carry a little bit more body fat, just genetically, that it's hard to get to that level. So, I mean, there's certain factors that are already playing to their benefit, but at the same time, they did have to sacrifice. I mean, they're not free to eat any kind of food that they really wanted. They had to stick to the certain regimen, exercising. So I think, yeah, great. You have built yourself up to that position, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're talking about for other people. It's, you know, it reminds me of some great football players who have been fantastic athletes, been able to do all that stuff, but they can't coach the game because they were just good at playing the game. So there's a lot of us out there who might not have the ripped abs, the shredded arms, shredded back, whatever it is, shredded wheat with a little bit of frosting, of course, that, hey, it's okay because we have life experience. We have not just life experience. We have experience on the training floor. I mean, we've coached a lot of people. We spent a lot of hours coaching people, program designing, all that stuff to get to our craft that maybe we don't have the, I don't even know what's an appropriate body fat percentage, you know, maybe 10%, I don't know, 11%, 12%, something like that, less than. But that doesn't mean, right, that people who are in the industry who might not, I don't say not look the part, but just don't have that supermodel look, you know, all oily and greased up and telling you what you should do so that your back doesn't hurt, so your knees don't hurt, so your shoulders don't hurt. But however, when we look at social media, what are we looking for? Well, how many followers does this person have? Obviously, they look in shape, so they must know something about being in shape. Kind of reminds me of the Jim Gaffigan stand-up, if anybody's familiar with Jim Gaffigan, stand-up comedian. You know, he talks, one of his skits is the fact that he never likes to go to the weight room or go to the gym, period. The fact that he lives across the gym that's open 24 hours, 7 days a week, going anytime, but he still doesn't want to go. But he shows up and he just sees all these people that are fit, muscular, like kind of the Olympian gods, if you will. And he says, what are you doing here? You're done. You know, like you've already gotten to the point where you need to be. What are you still doing here? Which just then makes my brain spin off into other things about unhealthy relationships with exercise. This is too something that could be happening. However, so we get to that point, though, where we follow these people because, well, they're fit, they're in shape, and that's what we aspire to be, but we might not have the genetic gifts that they have. Maybe we have a family that we can't sacrifice our meals for. You know, that's tough, and I know that some people do this where they compete for bodybuilding, they have their family, and they have to eat totally separate from everybody else. Like they cannot have what they're having. They have to eat at different times. That's kind of sacrifice. I personally think it's unhealthy. I think it's good for everybody to enjoy everything, like within moderation, what you like. Like if something you like, if you like ice cream, have some ice cream. You know, just again, don't overdo it, which can be a tricky thing because sometimes, you know, and Megan does a great job talking about this in her Nourish to Flourish videos, and she just did one last week about stress eating. So it's, we got to think about, are we really tone deaf when we send out these messages? But of course, on Instagram, what is it about? It's the likes, it's the shares, it's the following, and our following is our reputation. So if we're an influencer that's got 5 million followers and we're given this kind of advice, chances are people are going to be following that. On the same On the different side of the coin, though, I guess you could say, as I've seen, I've know very smart people in the industry who don't have much of a following, who offer this sage advice, but nobody's going to take it because, well, they're not sitting there trying to flex their abs. They're not sitting there yelling in your face. They're not telling you all these gimmicky things. And like I said, they don't have millions of followers. And they don't really care because they're in a position in their real life, not in their social media life, where they're helping people. And they are making a difference. And they're smart. And they know that they're smart. So they don't have to be on social media to explain everything to everybody. They're not in it for that. So as I continue on to this tangent, you know, I was thinking about this whole testing stuff. And then, of course, people with abdominals just confusing correlation with causation. Well, kind of got me thinking, too, about my experience at UW La Crosse. So I went to school there for fitness, which, well, I didn't initially go there for fitness. I went there for other things, but then I realized that those other things didn't work out. And all of a sudden, here's this college of HPER, human performance something, something, rehab, I don't know. should probably understand that since I graduated. And in the college of HPER in the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, there was the exercise and sports science program. So I went through that. I've got my degree in exercise and sports science, the BS in that. I've got an emphasis in fitness and a concentration in strength conditioning. So anyway, in order to get into the fitness program at that time, so we're talking about like late 90s, really late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, 99, 2000, it had to be right around that border. You had to apply for the fitness program. So what did you need? You needed a certain GPA to get into the program. Okay, check. Got that GPA. Well, then you had to do like a fitness like evaluation. Like there was like a testing of your fitness. And that got me kind of nervous because, if you will, I've always been known to be the big boned guy. Not that I don't know if I'm really big boned, but I'm also not like, I don't have the least amount of body fat, especially at that point in my college career. Let's just say I was making not the most healthiest choices for social life, for food life, for anything kind of life. I was just really not doing well. Well, had to go through this, and you had to do like, I believe there was like a push-up test. There was a sit-up test. There might have been a VO2 test to some degree, maybe a modified one. And then there was a body fat composition. So you had to go, I think it was like hydrostatic too. You had to go into the water for that one. And basically, like it was a total score. And if you scored less than, you were unable to get into the program. Now, I was just actually talking to Megan, who went through that same program years later. And I asked her about that. And she said for her, they had the same thing, but your score didn't actually affect your eligibility into the program. But they still wanted you to do it for like empathy purposes. I don't quite understand that, but because maybe you're going to take your clients through a push-up test, a sit-up test. Maybe you're going to check their body comp through hydrostatic weighing. I have no idea. However, I mean, truth be told, my body fat composition was quite high at that time. And so the guy that was in charge of the testing just told me, he's like, well, do some extra push-ups because it all like weighed out. So if I was a little heavier, then if I just did some extra push-ups, then that kind of skewed the results a little bit, then I would pass. But then that got me thinking, like, well, what if you can't do quality push-ups? And of course, what if you can't do quality sit-ups, which you know how I feel about sit-ups and ab crunches. But if you had like a really low body fat percentage, this got you into the program? It's the weirdest thing. And I guess they must have changed it now because they realized the error of that. Because could you imagine, like, if I was very sensitive and my body fat composition, I was like really kind of weighing in on, and pun intended. And what if I decided like I'm not good enough to be in this program because I'm too fat? That I would have left. And what happens if I would have left? There would be no Fitness Lying Down. There would be no Fitness Lying Down podcast. So it's just kind of thinking about how we've grown in the industry, but at the same time, how we still set ourselves back. I always think Josh is always funny when he talks about how we in the fitness industry can't have anything nice. So even though like the testing for fitness professionals, we've maybe made it not so heavy evaluation because people, honestly, some people can't really quite control to some degree. I keep saying that because it's very relative how their body is. You know, and people can try to go through weight loss and they might lose some pounds. They might lose some fat pounds. However, their body frame might still be the same, that they might not look the part, quote unquote. So we've come a really good long way in regards to that. But yet at the same time, we're still a bunch of jerks. You know, we're shaming people. We're shaming people in the industry who might not look to be physically fit enough to do a personal, to be a personal trainer, to own a gym, to go through a fitness program. You know, we're so judgmental in this profession. I mean, truth be told, like, we judge hard. You know, we look at somebody and it's like, oh, you don't look like you belong here. And I just think too, like, the demise of what we used to do. So again, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and this is from the university level, I still remember one of our classes that we had. It was kind of like fitness evaluation and assessment, something like this. And it was how to test your clients. Like, you know, so you obviously want to go through like the health history report. You want to find out some of those big ticket items that you need to know about before you take them on your training floor. But is it like too far? Like, you don't have to do a static stretching test. You don't have to do like some kind of VO2 max. I mean, people that are coming through the door are like, let's just admit it. This is how I look at it. You need help. You know, like, you need what we have. Nobody ever comes to this door and says, you know, my core strength is awesome. I don't need that. I need something else. Nobody ever comes to our door and says, you know what? I don't feel tight. I feel hypermobile almost. Well, that might be an exception to a few people. I feel physically fit. No, people are coming through the door. Why? Because they're looking for us to help them improve their physical fitness level. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're just going to train the whole, right? We're going to make sure that we're improving your strength. We're improving your balance. All these things that people aren't very good at anymore. We're going to increase your range of motion, your flexibility, your mobility. We're going to do all this stuff. I don't need a test. Now, what I want to say, though, because I feel like I'm kind of putting my foot in my mouth at the same time, is it's nice afterwards to like retest somebody and see like, okay, yeah, your sit and reach test went 2 inches, 1 inch, whatever. I forget the numbers that we'd associate with. You know, your push-up test went from 10 to 12. Congratulations. Like, I think this is all like, those are great successes, and people should be looking to reevaluate. I'm always the one that's just like, hey, how do you feel? Number one, like, how do your hips feel? How does your low back feel? How do your knees feel that hurt? How does your shoulder feel? How are your clothes fitting? You know, a lot of times that's the big indicator. Weight might not be moving around too much, but the body shape is changing a little bit. The clothes feel a little bit looser. The shirt doesn't fit as snug. It doesn't take a big inhale to button your pants. Like, this is the kind of stuff that we're looking for, that I'm looking for, you know, because I will say, maybe I have a little PTSD from this, but there was that one class, like the fitness evaluation assessment, where we had to like caliper everybody. So everybody came to class that day without a shirt on, which then, of course, like brought me into the dark hole of middle school, junior high basketball, shirts versus skins. Again, never the skinny kid in class, so somehow I was always chosen as the skin team. That was a train wreck. I can't believe that I came out as fine as I did on the other end. But so we all show up to class. Basically, girls are in their sports bra, men shirtless. We're wearing our gym shorts because we had to pinch everybody. Everybody got their own set of calipers, and you had to do, I don't know if it's 3 sites or 5 sites. I mean, there's like, I think up to 9, 12 maybe sites. The more sites you do, like, apparently, quote unquote, the more accurate your body fat percentage will be, according to the testing. I think we did 3 or 5. I don't know. But I mean, by the end of the class, everybody's red, like R-E-D. They're red from at all the same points from everybody pinching them. And then you think about this, like, okay, I'm learning this stuff at the university level. So as I now become a personal trainer, what should I do? I should get some calipers. I should, when a client wants to come in and train with me, well, I better pinch them. I better pinch all their fat so I could tell what their body fat percentage is, because that's going to motivate them. That is going to send them like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for pinching all my fat. Let's go exercise now. This is where I'm. No, I tell you what, we were so like tone deaf, because that's not what people wanted. But yeah, we wanted to be the experts. Like, we wanted to, this is like our lab coat with a stethoscope around it. I've got my box with the calipers in it. Come into the back room here so I could pinch you. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But of course, on the flip side, would it be nice to have that so that in a year you could recaliper, you can reassess, retest, and find out where people are? Yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, that whole like year waiting, I don't think that that measures up to the amount of people you might lose by just pinching them right away. I really don't think so. I think photos show a big thing. So people have photos. Like, I'm not saying you take photos in the gym. Now you could. Like, some clients might be open to that. But how many clients do you get that come into your gym that just can't wait to take off their clothes so you can take pictures of them naked so that you can evaluate it and compare it later on? Because I really think a lot of those clients that we force to do that, well, that they're uncomfortable, number one, doing that. And they might not last that long anyway. And they're going to leave. And one of the reasons that they're leaving is because, well, you made them feel really uncomfortable in the gym. So why do we think that people have such PTSD from working out? It might not even be the workouts. It might be the pre-workout, all the judging that we do. We're not talking about elite athletes that need to be at a certain percentage to fight or to wrestle or to play a sport. We're talking about people that just came to your gym and they wanted maybe to lose a couple pounds, but they want to overall just feel better. They know that they need to physically be active. They know they need to strength train. So what business do we have to poke and prod them as if they were like livestock? Oh, yeah, well, you know, your blood pressure is fine, obviously. Your resting heart rate's good, but you got a little something around the middle, so let me just take a little pinch on that. No, that's not cool. But as we're busy talking about how we judge the clients that come in, I mean, are the clients judging the trainers? Maybe they are. I just think about some, again, I think we do so well in the industry, but we also do things that just keep setting us back in time, backwards in regards to our professionalism. And I know that it might try to come off as motivating. You know, I've seen some local gyms try to motivate. I don't know if they're trying to motivate people, but, you know, like a new restaurant comes in town. And I don't know about other towns, but here in La Crosse, we get a restaurant and people just like flock to that restaurant, the grand opening. I mean, everybody in town is there. And then what do? They complain that it took so long to get their food. It's just like, I'm not into that new restaurant stuff. I will wait. I feel like, because I've been in the restaurant business before, I will wait a few months. I'll let things cool down. I'll let the restaurant catch up so that when I go, it's not going to be as busy. And probably the service is going to be better because it's not that busy. However, I digress. That's just a little hack, though, for anybody. Don't go to the restaurant's grand opening unless you know that you got like some VIP status that you can go get seated at this amazing table and get your food right away. Anyway, so apparently some people in town, like professionals in the fitness industry, get a little upset when they see a line at a fast food place that's brand new, that's very long. And so they say, hey, if you have time to sit in line for X amount of minutes or hours waiting for this food, you have time to work out. It's like, I just want, like, how tone deaf is that once again? Because once you say that, people are like, you know what, you're right. I should not be in line for these fries. I need to go work out instead. But then why? I think we're asking the wrong question or pointing the finger at the wrong thing. Why is it that people have more motivation to sit in a drive-through line for tens of minutes, maybe an hour or so, for some food, when they could easily take that time and do something a little bit more active about it? What gets them more excited about that than the fitness industry? I think that's a very important question that we should be asking. What is it that we're doing wrong? And we might not be doing anything wrong. Well, we are doing things wrong. But, you know, some people just get excited. Like, there's a new restaurant. Like, ooh, new chain restaurant. It's so cool that we have it on La Crosse. Let's everybody go. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I think our reaction about that is quite wrong. You know, same thing of like, boy, it's funny the stuff that I'll see come in my feed on social media. We had a snowstorm last year and, you know, people had to shovel because snow was high And it's like, hey, if you have all this time to shovel, then you have time to come to the gym. Like, basically, if you have time for that physical activity, shoveling, then you can come into my gym for physical activity. And it's like, tone deaf. Once again, how many people have to shovel so they can get their kids to school? Like, I can't just plow through my driveway without shoveling it, like plow my car through the driveway. I have to clean off my driveway. And then, of course, as the plow trucks come through and add more snow after I've gotten done shoveling, I got to go back out there and lift all that heavy snow. I say me, but it's kind of my son now. When you got a 14-year-old kid, they do the shoveling. I still do it a little bit, though. So it's just like all this tone deafness that we have. And again, the one thing that just slaps me up that recently is another gym that says, stop saying I can't and start saying I will. And it's like, oh my goodness, like, you're right. You're right. I'm going to stop saying I can't. I'm going to start saying I will. I'm going to join your gym today. I don't think we're understanding the messages that we're sending out to prospective clients. Like, I don't know if people in the fitness industry, we are wired a little differently. Like, we're the ones that like to exercise. We're the ones that actually, I can't wait till I feel a little sore in my glutes or sore in my abdominals that when I laugh, it hurts. You know, like, we like that to some degree. I'm pretty much convinced that the majority of the general population does not like that. They don't mind a little soreness here and there, reminding them, hey, you moved in a different way. But to have that like debilitating soreness that in order to walk up the stairs or walk down the stairs, this frightens them. To sit down, like they're scared because they're just so sore. To giggle, you know, like their abs are so sore, their arms are so sore. Like, the general population doesn't really like that. They're not cool with that. We are, though. But then when it gets to that point where we start thinking like, hey, you just got to say I will now. That's all you got to do. You got to will it. There's, you know, after this crazy thing with the pandemic and all, like, the anxieties are driven high in this world for all the different reasons. I mean, there are so many reasons, so many factors why people are depressed, why people are more anxious, why people are just in a state where they don't want to do things. And we're just saying, hey, snap out of it. Say you will and come to my gym. Doesn't make any sense. We gotta offer them something a little bit sweeter. You know, we gotta make it that, hey, how about if you feel better? Hey, what if you came in and we helped you with some, what happens if we helped you with some strategies to be less anxious, to maybe feel not as unhappy? You know, like, because let's admit, people come to the gym setting not necessarily for the exercises, but for that community, because we're social beings. So if I can come to a gym and I can work out and exercise with other people that are like me, that this is going to actually, whether I know it or not, is going to help me be a little bit more happier. I'm going to feel better. And then I've, hopefully, our thing at Fitness Line Down is that everybody that comes in, we want to make sure that you're successful in the gym for each session. So we don't want you to be failing. We don't want you to struggle, right? Now, I do think a little struggle is good. However, I think that a lot of brand new people that are coming in, you don't want them to struggle because they're going to become frustrated. And it's just going to be that vicious cycle back to, hey, why don't you just start pinching my fat too? Because you're giving me things I can't do. You're giving me things that are uncomfortable for me to do. So what if we can give people things that they can come into the gym, they can be successful, like they can check all that stuff off their box. Like, hey, I went to that gym. I did these exercises. I rocked it. I can't wait to go back again because I feel good after doing it. I feel better. I feel more confident, but my body feels better. Why can't we start talking like that instead of like talking down or talking at our clients and saying, hey, stop saying I can't and just start saying I will. Stop spending time in the fast food line waiting for that amazing cheeseburger that you've been thinking about. Come and do some ab crunches at my gym. Stop shoveling your snow so that you can come to my gym and do some burpees. It's just, it's so backwards for me. And like I said, in this industry, we're so good at just judging hard on people. And we're good at judging the coaches too. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't too long ago after we posted a video on YouTube, because we got a pretty, I don't know if it's a popular YouTube channel, but it's gained some traction. We have a lot of our kettlebells and coffee, and we have the Nourish to Flourish from Megan's standpoint. And we got some client spotlights. We got some other fun videos that we put up there. But it was after one of the kettlebells and coffee videos, and it's so funny because you get a notification that, hey, somebody commented on your YouTube video. So I went and I took a look, which is kind of funny because I usually ignore these notifications. I'm like, whatever. But for some reason, I was just drawn. I'm like, oh, let me see what somebody said. And I forget what video it was, but it was just something to the fact that the person mentioned, oh, you know, I think it was a burpee video because I was talking about doing cleans and presses with the sandbag over the burpees, which I already know is an emotional topic. But I was just saying how the clean and press with the ultimate sandbag could be a better solution for people because sometimes burpees can be really hard on people's bodies, and it could also be hard on their emotional value because they're PTSD from that as well. Well, apparently I must have struck an emotional chord with this one individual because the notification I got, the comment they made, was something about the fact, like, based on the size of your gut, mine, the cleans and presses aren't helping you. It was like, I was a little bit taken back because, you know, I don't know. This might have been the first time that somebody's taken a little aim at my physical well-being. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So I read that comment like in the notification tab. So when I went to the video, well, that comment was deleted. But that same individual then immediately commented another thing and just asked if I was a good role model for what I was doing, or let's see, what was it? It was, are you an example of what you recommend? That's what it was. Are you an example of what you recommend? And it's like, kind of had to sit on that a little bit. And of course, I'm curious. So I go to this person's YouTube channel and I find out that they're like former military. I believe they're former military, 60 some years old, you know, this diet that they have and this regimen of burpees that they do. So it's like, obviously the algorithms gave them my burpee video because they love burpees. And they're like, hey, this person said burpees, which indirectly is why I do like to use some of those keywords and key phrases so that the algorithm can pick it up and distribute my content. But yeah, I was just like, guys, like, you know, guy, you're not too great yourself either. Like, you might not be heavy, but you're kind of the opposite. So it's like, what is it now that you're more thin makes you more fit, more healthy? I don't know. But apparently this person, I remember just looking at some of their videos, like they were key on this food that they were eating and the burpees that they were doing. But they, you know, it's just funny. And I know that I'm not the only one. I see other videos where people comment on this kind of stuff where they'll show you. I remember, I don't even know who the person is, but just comment on this female in a larger body size who loved to dance. And she posted out there like, hey, I just love to dance. I'm not very good at it. Ha ha. But the comment section was just atrocious. Like how mean we could be to people. It's amazing. And I just, you know, it's like the bully, you know, you think about the bully growing up, that person's got more issues inside themselves than they do with you. Like, it's like, all right, what's wrong with you? You got dad issues, you got something else going on. But it just amazes me that we'll take the time to type on social media to an actual person and just tear them down. And then we wonder what's wrong with society. We wonder what's wrong with our world. Well, social media is one of them, as I'm about to upload this onto a social media platform. but yeah, so just like, wow. So even coaches, and I know that there's plenty of coaches out there that don't quote unquote look the part, myself included, but they're a resource of just knowledge and they know things. And maybe because, and we just don't know people's backgrounds, right? We don't know people's limitations, their physical injuries. Maybe they have some autoimmune issues that causes them to be bloaty. I don't know. Just like, there's so many things that to just pass judgment and say, you know what? You don't have six-pack abs. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not talking to you anymore. I think we got to be careful about using that kind of knowledge. You know, again, it reminds me of a fitness person in town here that put on their post, you know, what if, I forget how it went, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but basically, like, would you take advice from a fat doctor? You know, would you take fitness advice from somebody that's not fit? You know, and then of course, like, I don't know if they just do this to poke and prod and get like comments and content or reactions on their social media. Maybe they think it helps. I don't know. But the fact that like, you threw that out there, and now people are kind of like, and you see some people are actually having like an internal dialogue, like, you know, that's an interesting fact you bring up, but I don't know what's going on in that person's life. Like, I don't know what's going on in their personal life that could cause them to have issues that manifest physically, that maybe they don't look very good. Maybe they don't look like a healthy doctor, whatever quote unquote healthy is. You know, I don't know. There's so many factors that go into that. But it's just, as I mentioned before, we have come in such, we've come such a long way in the fitness industry, where I just remember growing up in the gym, where it was all just kind of meathead things, to kind of fine tuning it, being more quote unquote functional training. However, functional training was still like bodybuilding, that we're trying to get this aesthetic look. And there's nothing wrong with achieving aesthetics, but if we're judging people for not being as aesthetic as we put in our mind that people should be, I think that's where the issue could there lie. And, you know, we've gotten to the point now where it's like, okay, the gyms, like, I just feel like Fitness Line Down, we have definitely, we're trying to all the time capitalize on the fact that, number one, we want our clients to feel comfortable here. I will admit, I've never been a big fan of the term safe space, but I want people to come here and feel safe. And I've heard clients, and that's why I feel like this is okay to say, because clients have come to me and they just talk about how they feel so comfortable being here. You know, unlike other gyms that they've been to, they feel safe. They don't feel like people are looking at them and judging them for how they look or, you know, how they're dressed or anything like that. It's just a really welcoming community. And I'll tell you what, I've worked hard to make that happen. You know, I don't want to be a bunch of jerks in here, like with a gated community that you can't join our gym because you aren't fit enough. You can't do enough burpees. You can't do enough push-ups. Your body fat percentage is so high. No, everybody deserves to move. Everybody deserves to enjoy strength training, to have an appropriate kind of strength training for them. So this is the reason why, one of the reasons why Fitness Line Down was made. The other reason is because, well, hey, I lost my job and I needed to do something. So I decided, since nobody else was going to hire me, maybe I should hire myself and own a gym. I don't know. But that's my story today. So again, like, I don't know if I had an agenda. I did have an agenda, but I don't know, like, if I verbalized it and I stuck to it, you know, kind of in summary, right? Like I said, we've come so far, but yet we still take strides backwards in regards to even the professionals in the industry. We don't do as good as we should. And I pointed to myself too. I mean, I can always do better. I can help people better. I can be more accepting. I can be more patient, right? So it's like, just got to be in the industry. I mean, I do believe that this is a special industry. We can make such a tremendous impact in such a positive way in people that we can help them with any kind of, and I've said it so many times already, but PTSD from previous gyms, whether it's the I'm going to pinch you gym, or whether I'm going to give you things that you can't do very well and you're going to get injured and now you're going to suffer because, like, anytime you think you have to pick something up off the floor, that you're going to hurt your back. Those are horrible things. But yet we try to embrace the people that come into there, and we try to help them with more positive experiences. So you kind of think about it. Again, I'm just in conversation with other people about this, that the more I can help somebody with positive reinforcements of movement. So let's just say that hip hinge, where a lot of people are afraid to hip hinge because they're afraid they're going to hurt their low back. Well, if I can start introducing a gentler way to do hip hinges, I can start building up a little bit more confidence in them. It's amazing how the brain works, that when we detect that there could be pain, there's almost like this coding that happens. It's a predictive coding that the brain gives, like, oh, we know what's about to happen. And then there's this, what I've been introduced recently, kinesiophobia, like the fear of certain movements. So people have this as a legit thing. Like, they don't want to hip hinge, especially for me. That's what I find a lot of people. But, you know, some people don't want to lunge because of knee pain, squat because of knee pain. You know, I think about people that talk about, like, power cleans and CrossFit, where they had no business doing power cleans and CrossFit, like, based on where they are in their life. Like, they sit at a desk 8 hours a day, and all of a sudden they go to CrossFit, they do a couple warm-up exercises, and now they have to do cleans to presses and thrusters and things like this. No. So all of a sudden the brain has this, like, predictive coding where it knows what's about to happen, so it kind of already sends the signals and the body becomes a little bit afraid, and then compensations happen as a result, or people just don't want to do it. So what if we in the industry could do a better job in helping people have more of a positive experience with some of these movements? And that doesn't mean like, hey, day one, oh, you're scared to deadlift? Well, let's start deadlifting, because stop saying you can't and start saying you will. You know, it doesn't work that way. But what if we can just gently start introducing some of these as you gain more confidence in the gym, as you become more comfortable, as you build a trusting relationship with your trainers? I mean, how cool would that be? The world would be such a better place. But yet, we're still going to judge people externally. We're going to call people names. We're going to shame them for doing things that they actually enjoy other than working out. All those things are going to be counterproductive. It's not going to help at all. We need a better direction in the fitness world. We need to be a brighter light so people can follow us. And speaking of following, if you haven't followed us yet, you should follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So, whew. I think I did it. I think I did it in regards to, I was all over the board again today. Not a problem. That's what's so great about a podcast as opposed to trying to put everything into a 3-minute video. Anyway, all right, so here we are. That was my first podcast at 45. I hope that you are not disappointed. Until the next time that we speak, my friends, Godspeed.